This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, September 16th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Apple fans have a lot to talk about. Yesterday, the company lifted the curtain on a new smartwatch, as well as an updated iPad Air and a new fitness service. It happened at the company's first all-virtual product reveal. But where past events like this have attracted crowds of journalists and Apple fans, this one was lacking in some of its usual pizzazz. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern will tell us all about it after these headlines. Lots of news on regulatory scrutiny of tech today. First up, national security regulators met yesterday to discuss the Oracle-TikTok deal. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., or CFIUS, is reviewing a proposal that would keep ByteDance as the majority owner of TikTok and bring Oracle on board as TikTok's U.S. technology partner. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. TikTok would become a U.S.-based unit of ByteDance, and Oracle would take a minority stake in it, along with other possible investors, including Walmart, the person said. The review is one of the final steps before officials present the proposal to President Trump, and they're on a deadline to do it. The Trump administration previously gave TikTok until September 20th to sell its U.S. operations or face a ban. Also, the Justice Department is looking into the electric truck startup Nikola. If you're not familiar with Nikola, the company's been a rising star in the electric vehicle space. And after its IPO this summer, Nikola even briefly overtook Ford in market value. Now, we report that the DOJ, as well as the Securities and Exchange Commission, are following up on allegations that Nikola misled investors with exaggerated claims about its technology. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Here's our reporter Ben Foldy with more.
Yeah, so we can't say precisely what allegations the DOJ is looking into, but what we can say with some certainty is that, you know, this became public knowledge after a short seller report detailed a bunch of kind of allegations against the company that it had misrepresented its technology over the past few years and kind of how far along it was at getting to a working product. The most kind of notable is a prototype truck that the company first unveiled in 2016 and kind of described in various ways as being fully functional. It turns out that that was unlikely to be the case. And then the company released a video of that truck, quote, in motion, is the way the company described it. But it turns out that it had in fact been kind of pulled up a hill and let to coast down it, not under its own power. The company has subsequently admitted that, but said that it was designed kind of to be under its own power. That design helped lead to versions of the company's truck that now do work under their own power.
And we report exclusively that the Federal Trade Commission is gearing up to file a possible antitrust lawsuit against Facebook. People familiar with the matter say a suit could come by the end of the year, though the FTC has not yet made a final decision about whether it will file at all. The agency's been looking into concerns that Facebook uses its dominant position in the market to stifle competition, including through acquisitions. Facebook is still making its case to the commission, and it's said in the past that its acquisitions aren't anti-competitive. After the break, we give you all the highlights from yesterday's big Apple event. That's next. September marks the beginning of fall, a time for the changing of the leaves, the back-to-school season, maybe even a particular type of latte. For many in the tech world, it's also the time of Apple's special event, where the company unveils new products. And usually, the headliner is the big reveal of a new iPhone. But like so much else, that was different this year. The all-virtual event was held yesterday, and we heard a lot about a lot of different products and updates, but nothing on a new phone. Here to tell us what we did see is our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Hey, Joanna.
Hello.
All right. First off, you've been covering these sorts of Apple events and product reveals for a while now.
Yes. 75 years.
How'd this one compare?
It was definitely very different, though in June we had Apple's developers conference and it was pretty similar to that. So in the sense of we're getting used to this, but it's definitely different than me flying out to Cupertino, waiting in line to get into a big amphitheater, sitting in a room packed full of Apple employees, other press, and hearing a lot of excitement about new products.
Yeah, and on the products, let's start with that side of things. What were your biggest takeaways from what was announced? And what should our listeners be thinking about when they go to buy their next device?
I think the biggest thing I want everyone to remember when they go to buy an Apple device is that getting the most expensive Apple device doesn't necessarily anymore mean it's the best one to get. Now, sure, there are going to be features that they're going to have in these higher end products, like we saw yesterday with the Apple Watch Series 6 announcement. That is a $399 watch. But we also got an Apple Watch SE that starts at $279 and has a lot of the features you would probably want. Seeing that also on the iPad. So you can get a $329 really good iPad. You can get an iPad Air, a new iPad Air that's $599. Or you can go up to the $800 iPad Pro. But that iPad Air is actually a really good value and has a lot of the same things as that Pro.
And, you know, we also heard a lot about services. Apple has really been leaning into this part of its business lately. Did we get any news there?
We heard a lot about services yesterday, and I think it was really interesting how Apple threaded that throughout the hardware announcements, specifically the Fitness Plus announcement. And this was an announcement of a new on-demand video workout service. Think about your Pelotons, think about your other sort of video workout videos. But this comes with an Apple Watch, or you have to pay extra $10 a month to get this with your Apple Watch. And this really sort of emphasizes if you've got this watch, if you've got this hardware, then you can also get this service. And for Apple, that means you're going to have recurring revenue. You're going to have this customer who didn't only pay for the hardware, but is now going to pay a monthly service fee for this new service.
So some changes there. Another big change, normally a new iPhone would be the headliner of this event. That's been pushed because of coronavirus-related supply chain issues. But given everything we saw yesterday, do you have any predictions about what new features we might see when that eventually is announced?
There was no mention of the iPhone, which actually was shocking to me. I figured, oh, they're going to at least tease it. This is the September event. They're going to remind people, we know we usually gather for the iPhone, but coming soon. But there was none of that. I would say the biggest hint we got about what's coming with the iPhone is that the Apple Watch will no longer ship in its box a small USB adapter, the one that you plug into the wall. That no longer is going to be shipped in the box. And Apple says that's for environmental reasons, that we all have these already. Why do we need more of these ending up in the landfill? I think Apple will do the same exact thing with the iPhone coming next month.
We'll hold you to that. Taking a step back here, you know, this event is typically meant to really hype up the products that Apple announces. With no iPhone, and you mentioned sort of a less flashy event than we're used to, are we expecting to see an impact on Apple's bottom line?
I would say this is one of the most boring Apple events in recent history. That said, I actually think it could end up being one of the most successful in terms of products announced. You had the lower-end iPad refresh, the $329 iPad, which we know is a top seller for Apple. And now you also have these new Apple Watches that are not as expensive as the usual $399 version, but one that's more affordable, has a lot of health features, and you have also this backdrop of the pandemic and people wanting to spend less and focus on health. And I think that the Apple Watch, it's been sort of less of a niche product, but it's not spread over to everyone. And I think this year we're going to see it really broaden its horizons. And here with the announcement of not only the different pricing tiers and having three different models out, but also the family sharing. This is a feature they announced where you can actually give the watch to your kid, even if they don't have an iPhone, and you can then set it up and control it. And you can also use it to track your kid if they're at school. I think that is really showing how big of a market Apple thinks the watch can get into. So they've had things like fall detection for people who are older. They now have this feature for those who are younger. So I really think this is the beginning of seeing the watch go a lot bigger than we had thought.
Joanna, like we said, you're our expert on this, but you've been covering this for a long time. Is there anything else about this event that struck you?
One thing that did strike me is that it felt like Apple wanted to do this event right now because these products were ready, but the iPhone isn't ready. And so you don't typically get a dedicated announcement for just the watch or just the iPad. And it just made me wonder, did they need to do this announcement? We're going to obviously have something else in October for the iPhone. We may even have something related to the Mac in November, or maybe they do that in October. So the question is, how much can they capture mind share in the next couple of months?
All right, we'll be keeping an eye on it. Senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening.